A couple of statistical abstractions now about the U.S. economy and the global economy. In a moment, some numbers on education and poverty in the U.S. But first, Oxfam, the anti-poverty and anti-hunger advocacy group, says that by next year, the top 1% will own more than half of the world's wealth. Now, on one level, it makes you want to ask, what is wealth? I mean, the rich don't own the clouds or glorious sunsets or the Grand Canyon yet. On another level, if they own more than half of everything, maybe we should complain to them to make it all work a little better. But of course, we are talking about money, like Michael Bloomberg's ballooning $33 billion or George Soros's $23 billion fortune or the mysterious person who dropped $100.47 million on a penthouse apartment in New York City, two-story, 11,000-square-foot, six-bedroom condo and with no backyard. Such a deal. Gawain Kripke is the policy director for Oxfam. Gawain, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
So aside from getting a great headline for Oxfam, statistically, what does this show here in real terms?
Well, Oxfam's primary concern is reducing poverty and promoting growth that helps poor people. And in recent years, we've realized that this growing economic inequality in most countries and globally is a real obstacle to reducing poverty. So what we've been playing with the numbers and trying to understand why this is happening and what it looks like. And we realize that within a year or two, the world will reach this important sort of moment where more wealth is owned by the top 1% than the rest of the 99% of humanity, 7 billion people. And it just feels like that's an important moment in history.
Now, you said playing with the numbers, and that's what you've been accused of doing. This is slightly obscure math in the sense that someone with no debt starts out pretty close to the 1% by your calculation, even though they probably don't feel that way.
Yeah, a lot of humanity actually has net negative wealth. They're in debt. They have more liabilities than so. It is hard to do analysis of wealth, partly because of obscure things like net negative wealth exist, but also because a lot of wealth.
So Donald Trump would be worse off than someone who pushes a bicycle in China for like a dollar a year.
Possibly, if his net debt is bigger than his net assets, that could be true. But on balance, it's still true that rich people have a lot of money and a lot of assets, and poor people have none or are in debt. There's lots of exceptions, but the overall statistics are still true. And a lot of wealth is very invisible, which people don't have to report wealth to anyone. And so there's a lot of hidden wealth in the world. So the statistics we're showing probably grossly understate how concentrated wealth is globally and in the United States.
Well, to be fair, I mean, we knew that the rich owned a lot, if not most of everything, compared to the poor before you published this statistic. And, you know, if Oxfam's interest is to get a conversation going about income inequality, I think that's laudable, and we'll give you that. From Oxfam's perspective, forget the math for a moment. What do you think is the most important takeaway from that statistic?
Well, partly it's just to understand wealth and understand the world. We live in a world where over a billion people are absolutely poor. Almost a billion people don't get enough food to eat. And at the same time, we have this massive historic concentration of wealth and income at the very top. It does raise some questions about what's fair and what the role of government is in making sure that the poorest people get the basics of life, education, health, and food. So we're trying to raise these questions in a non-confrontational manner, but in a way that that evokes response from people and from policymakers. And there's a risk that with this enormous concentration of wealth and income at the top, that politics becomes captured, that we no longer have functioning democracies. And people argue that money corrupts politics, but what happens when money becomes so concentrated? Does that mean our democratic institutions are being undermined?
Gawain Kripke is policy director for Oxfam. They published the statistic that within the next year or so, 1% of the most wealthy individuals in the world will own more than half of all the wealth in the world. Gawain, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.